Let's turn to the Word of God now, shall we? I invite you to turn to the letter to the Ephesians once again. Ephesians 1, 1 to 6. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for such wonderful words, and we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would assist us in our understanding of them, that you would help us, Lord God, to walk before you and be blameless. Pray in Christ's name, amen. All right, brothers and sisters, last week I attempted to give you a little bit of an introduction, an overview of the trajectory of the book of Ephesians. That God has a purpose for us. There is a direction that we're supposed to be moving in, right? God calls us to become something, right? He does not want us merely to hang tight and wait it out for the rest of our lives while we wait for heaven, okay? The redeeming work of Christ, which we spend a lot of time studying in Matthew, right? The redeeming work of Christ that God sent him into the world to do, and which is the center point of our Christian identity, is with a view toward accomplishing a certain goal, which I would like you to look at the end of verse 4. Okay, we can see this goal that we should be something, right? That we should be something. And as a result of our becoming that, that glory and honor and praise would redound to him because of his such marvelous goodness toward us. Okay, the book of Ephesians is an attempt to describe and to unpack this grand scheme, this objective of God for the human race in such a way that we will thoroughly understand what a glorious thing it is to be in Christ. And where does God want to take us in all of this? Okay, and from the very get-go, Paul seems hardly able to contain himself. It's like his pen struggles to keep up with his thoughts. You know, these phrases and clauses just keep pouring out in a long chain about the richness of the blessings that God gives to men, the magnificence of Christ, the special place that Jesus has in God's plan, and the glory and the excitement of looking forward to the coming age, and the supernatural power that is being applied to us as God draws us upward toward himself through Jesus Christ. Okay, to fail to see, Christians, that God has this transforming plan, this becoming plan in mind for us, to me is to miss the Christian boat entirely. Many churchgoers, it seems, simply are content to say, thank you, Jesus, for my salvation. And now that eternal life is in the bag, all we kind of have to do is sort of wait it out and hang tight until the end of our lives, right? Heaven is going to be wonderful. I just can't wait for the no more crying, tears, or pain. I just kind of wish it would hurry up and get here, right? Let's skip right to the end, right? I had my sins forgiven. I'm going to heaven. And as for all the in-between stuff, well, who really cares? Wait a minute. How did we get to this point? In Christian thought, is that it? Like, is that the whole deal? That Jesus died on the cross so your sins can be forgiven, so you can go to heaven. Is that all the Bible? Is that the Christian message? Is that the whole work of God? It isn't. It isn't. We're short-circuiting the divine program. Okay, God wants you to be in heaven. Wait, we're leaving out really big, significant objectives of God here. Just, okay, believe in Jesus, go to heaven. Is that it? I think we had better have a look, don't you think? Okay, so let's look. It's a letter, of course. This is a letter, so it opens in the traditional way for an ancient letter. We sign our name to the bottom of a letter. That's not how it used to be. The writer first, then the addressees, and then the greeting. So that's what we have in 1 and 2. Okay, now in this case, the writer is Paul, an apostle. Apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, which means that on the matters that Paul is going to be writing about, he speaks with God-vested authority. He is not a random average preacher putting down some beautiful thoughts on paper, right? Apostle means he was specifically appointed by Jesus Christ himself to be a herald, to be a proclaimer of God-revealed doctrine. Okay, and as such, his teaching and his written word is on a par with the words of Jesus himself. Okay, this is the Spirit of God speaking through Paul. And in a couple of his other letters, you see him explain this to us. So, for example, in Galatians, he says, "My appointment as an apostle is not by a man. It's not from human beings. It's direct from Jesus Christ." He said, "My gospel that I preached to you is not something that man made up. I didn't get taught it." Okay, you and I, we've come into a knowledge of the gospel because somebody taught it to us. It's not so with Paul. Directly revealed in personal revelation from Jesus Christ. Okay, and so in another letter, it's 1 Corinthians, he's talking about some disputable matter that's causing a little trouble there in that church. But when he's finished addressing it, he says this: "If anyone wants to dispute about this, or if anybody thinks that he is a spiritual person, let him acknowledge that I speak the very commandments of the Lord." Okay, that's what an apostle does. That's who he is. Everything he says in this letter, we can take it to the bank. Okay, because by the will of God, that's how verse 1 says, by the will of God, this man, Paul, was appointed Christ's special instrument by which the Holy Spirit reveals things about the mind of God to human beings. Therefore, that means we ought to receive them. Yes? Okay, that's the author. The recipients are saints, the faithful. Okay, and right away, again, we have this all-important phrase that pops up a lot in Paul, in Christ. Okay, the saints, the faithful, in Christ. Okay, very important now to realize that as we read this letter, everything that Paul is going to say about what we have in Christ and who we are and what our inheritance is, those things apply to those who are called saints, the faithful in Christ Jesus, or the believers who are in Christ Jesus. So, for example, when he says that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, you have to understand those blessings are not universal. Right? Not that God wouldn't want them to be, but there is a way to the Father. Right? There is a mediator between God and man. There is one in whom the riches of the grace of God come down to you or come down to me. So everything that follows in the letter is affirmative for you if you are among the saints, right? If you are counted among the faithful in Christ Jesus. And if you're not, well, these things are not yours currently. They can be. They're genuinely offered to you in Christ Jesus, right? That's the condition. It's the one condition. Hopefully, the more that we read on, the more that you will wish to be in Christ Jesus so that all of these blessings can be yours as well. Okay, what's a saint? Are you a saint? Saint is the noun form of the adjective holy. Okay, not in English, but okay, in other languages, the adjective holy has a noun form. Okay, the English word saint is related to other holiness-related words like the word sanctify. Okay, the word sanctify means to make something holy. The word sanctuary, right? A holy place. The word saint, and then that's the same root. A sanctum is a holy place. Okay? Maybe you don't think of yourself as a saint. Right? I know you're thinking of like the old paintings where people have a halo and stuff around their head. Those are the saints, right? The people up in heaven. Okay, no. If you have been laid hold of by Jesus Christ and you have been brought into a knowledge of him through the gospel, and if you've received his gift of pardon and new life, you are, biblically speaking, you are a saint. Okay, that a holy person. Okay, even if you're a brand new believer, you're a saint because you have been set apart from the world by Jesus Christ. You are on the path, right? And we're going to see this explained throughout the letter. The word faithful, still verse 1. Faithful in the one sense of the word means believing, right? Believing in Jesus Christ, having faith. Okay, if you've put your trust in Christ as Savior and you rely on him, that's you, right? You're among this number, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Therefore, the letter is for you. All the truths and the promises that are explicated in it apply to you, and the commandments apply to you, right? If you confess with your mouth Jesus the Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised him up from the dead, then this is for you. Okay, now, of course, the word faithful has another sense too, doesn't it? The sense of loyalty, right? Are you faithful to Christ Jesus? Are you loyal? Are you true to the one who you pledged yourself to? Okay, that's written to those. Let's be that too, right? God has been faithful to us, right? Let's be faithful to him in return and not repay his grace with disloyalty. Okay, that's the writer. That's the recipients. Now the greeting, verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, the thing about this is Paul is speaking as their spokesman. Right? How do you know what God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ say? Well, he's an apostle. He speaks on their behalf. So this is something that he can say with truth. He tells them grace and peace are directed toward you. They are bestowed upon you from God the Father and from God the Son. This isn't just a polite Christian way of saying hello. Okay, it's not a Christian just greeting, grace and peace from God the Father to you. Okay, no, he is telling the readers to be assured of the goodwill of God toward them. Right? God is inclined to be gracious. He wishes for us to be at peace, doesn't he? Okay, he is abundant in mercy. God's will toward man is a benevolent will. He wants our good. And I think that's something that people doubt, right? Because how often do you hear people say, why is God out to get me? Is God angry at me? Why is he doing this? I know people say God is love, but it doesn't feel like he loves me very much, or that he could love me very much. Not that way. God's preference is to bestow upon you the riches of his grace, to bring you into sweet fellowship with him as his little children, right? Men and women made in his image, the works of his hands. If only people knew what God would do for them if they would just stop running away from him and stop pushing him away. He's gracious. Of course, he doesn't love sin, but he knows our frame, right? He remembers that we're weak. He remembers that we're dust. The Bible says he's abundant in mercy, slow to anger, of great kindness. Okay, hopefully as we read Ephesians, you'll be assured how great a love the Father has and lavishes upon those who are called children of God. What a great salvation it is that we have. All right, now verse 3 begins the body of the letter. Begins with a word of praise to our God for such great things as he has blessed us with. Blessed be God, blessed art thou, O Lord, our God, forever blessed. Now listen, friends, God would deserve eternal praise even if he was not gracious to us. Even if he had just given us what our sins deserve, he still would deserve all praise, because he is the Almighty. He is the creator. He is righteous. He is glorious. He's all-powerful. Heavens and the earth are the work of his fingers, right? God deserves praise because he is the omnipotent. He is the I am. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And that's why the angels say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, who was and who is to come, the mighty one." Even if he had not been gracious to us, he still deserves praise, honor, and blessing. But Christians, the rescued sinner, how much reason the rescued sinner has to praise God for what he has done. And it's like, where do we start? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places God has blessed us with. He has blessed us with everything he can conceive to bestow upon us from heaven. And if you want to start reading ahead, you know, the next few verses start to itemize what those spiritual blessings are. But I'd rather hold that thought until next time. Just realize that the Christian saint enjoys a whole realm of blessing, benefits that the world at large does not participate in. Okay, again, they could, but all God's spiritual blessings are in Christ, and you've got to come to Christ in order to count them yours. Okay, we understand spiritual blessings are distinguishable from material and physical blessings or earthly blessings, right? The Bible says God is kind to all that he has made. And the scripture is very clear about that. He waters the earth. He causes the sun to shine. He brings forth bread out of the earth. Okay, this is November. It's Thanksgiving season. This is especially when we start turning our thoughts towards the good things of the sky, the sea, and the land that God bestows, our family, our homes, our careers, beautiful things in creation. Those aren't exclusively Christian blessings, are they? Okay, the whole earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And this is actually a way you can explain the Lord to people, as Paul did in his preaching in Lystra. He says that God has not left himself without a testimony. He does good. He gives us the rain from heaven. He gives us fruitful seasons. He fills our hearts with gladness and with food. In Athens, Paul said God did this so that men would reach out for him and try to find him and perhaps discover him, even though he's not very far from us. Okay, certainly we bless God's name and we praise him for material and temporal blessings. But the blessings of the Spirit, blessings from the unseen realm, these are really worth singing about. These are worth praising God for. They're worth bowing the knee. Such a great salvation he's given us. Such mercy and grace. Okay, like I said, start reading ahead. See what are those things that he is referring to. The distinctively Christian blessings. In Christ blessings. Okay, but all I want you to notice about them for today is that they have been given to the Christian. All right, this is past tense. God has blessed us with them. Right? It was perfect tense, right? He did it. We have them. We still have his blessings. Doesn't say he had blessed us with them. You know, he blessed us and then took them away. Right? No, he has blessed us with them. We still have them. And we need to frequently remind ourselves, like when we get down in the dumps, we need to remind ourselves that we do have these blessings still. God isn't like dangling them over our heads and sort of teasing us with them and playing keep away, you know, now you see it, now you don't sort of thing. No, if you're extra good today, then I'll let you hold it for a little while. I'll let you share one of my blessings. No, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And the next thing, look, verse 4. The words "just as." The words "just as" show us that it was long his intention and plan to make that bestowal of blessings happen. Okay, God purposed this in far ancient times. In fact, before the world existed. And now, Paul says, that plan has come to fruition, what with Christ dying and being raised again and ascending victoriously into the heavens, where as the God-man bridge, he secures for us every spiritual blessing that God can bestow, that God anciently purposed to bestow on created beings who are formed in his image. Okay, this is, as I said, this is one of Paul's recurring themes, and we'll bring it up again, this so-called mystery, what he calls the mystery, which means that God's all along had this intention, right? He moved history forward with a view toward bringing it to pass, but he kind of kept it to himself, what he was really up to. But now with the dawning of the gospel, he wants it to be widely known. Okay, so just as, let's get a running start at it, he blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in him before the world was made. Okay, with the intent that he was going to someday pour out these spiritual blessings on us at the proper time when his plan reached the proper stage of fulfillment. Okay, and Paul says, and now here we are, enjoying them, reveling in it, wondering at it. Wow, all through the ages, God planned this. And what we have today is okay, that's what those words, just as. What has come to pass in Christ now, fully consistent with the trajectory that God has been moving human history in the course of ever since the beginning, right? Since before he said, let there be light, he had this purpose in mind. Now, in keeping with that, we've received it, okay? And aren't we Christians aware of a sense of having been specially favored by God? Are you aware of a sense of having been chosen for special blessings? Like, this is another thing that we can get to another time, but the critical thing to get into your head this morning is that we were chosen to become something. We were chosen with a view towards us progressing toward a certain goal, a certain sublime destiny, a certain finish. The Bible uses words like completion, perfection, fullness, so on. Okay, God has given us all these spiritual blessings from the heavenlies in order that that goal might be accomplished. And here it is, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Right? Jesus died on the cross so you could be forgiven of your sins and go to heaven. Well, yes, but no, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ, just as he chose us long, long ago, that we should become, right, that we should be holy and blameless before him. Okay, Jesus died on the cross so that you could be blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. You could be blessed with all manner of gifts from the Spirit of God so that you would become holy and blameless before God. Okay, now all mankind stands before God. And all mankind will stand someday before God. Everything lies open and exposed before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. How is your heart before God? How are our thoughts before God, before God? What is your record of deeds and actions before God, in the sight of God, holy and blameless? If not, it does not mean, Christian, saint, it does not mean that he hasn't purchased you for himself. It doesn't mean that you're not born again. It does mean, though, that you were begotten again to be set upon a course of life that is supposed to be headed toward holiness and blamelessness. And if this is not what your Christian life has been occupied with and your efforts bent towards since you became a Christian, then you haven't been cooperating with the Spirit of God. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms has been bestowed on you in order to assist your becoming. Okay, your transformation, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? The spiritual blessings that God gives us aren't just something to stuff in your sack and then forget about it until the time comes to die and you get to go to heaven. Holy, blameless. And this is just as with Abraham, our spiritual father, right? God made the promises to him first. He counted righteousness to him first. Saved him, if you like. Then he appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless. Okay, a Christian life that is not making its goal to become holy and blameless before God in cooperation with the Spirit of God, okay, the Spirit of holiness, that's a dysfunctional Christian life, right? I know people who say, look, don't get on me about works. You're saved by grace. You don't have to do anything at all. Just believe in Jesus and go to heaven. Isn't that right? As if the gospel is a license to continue the rest of your life in unholiness and wrongdoing. Okay, well, Jesus forgives you, so it's okay. It's tragic, to be honest. Okay, we say the message is good news, and people mistake that good news to mean that there is no like upward call on their lives. There's no striving to be done. There's no attaining. There's no fighting against the devil. No need to change. The Lord said to Abraham, walk before me and be blameless. Praise be to the living God who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing so that we may be spotless. All right, the Latin translation has the word immaculate. That's awesome. Immaculate, spotless, sparkling before him in love. Okay, such a privilege, such a calling lies upon all God's saints in Christ Jesus. So I just want you to make that the word for the week, this week, blameless. So before you open your mouth with something wise to say, remember, be blameless before me. There is nothing hidden from the sight of God. Before you lie or deceive, before you look at something inappropriate for saints, right? Before you lose your temper, remember, blameless. The mighty God has chosen to be gracious to us. He has made peace with us through the blood of the cross. He has done great things for us, things that, if you'll recall the end of Matthew, made the earth tremble. He did them so that you could receive the necessary spiritual equipment to walk before him and be blameless. Well, let's pray and ask for God's Spirit to do his good work in us. Yes, Lord, we acknowledge you as the Almighty, the Omnipotent, the Righteous One. It is not for nothing, Lord, that you sent your Son into the world to suffer on behalf of sinners. Sin has spoiled us. It has spoiled our sense of right and wrong, good and bad. And Lord, you've not just called us to ignore our sins, but that we should be overcomers. And how we need your help, Lord Jesus. Thank you today for reminding us of this upward call upon our lives. Help us, Lord, to love each other from the bottom of our heart as we ought to do, to encourage each other, to help each other in the struggle against sin, to be honest and true, to be faithful to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of being one of your saints. We love you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.